Gorgeous George and Ghost, are you ready? Junkie Nation, are you ready? Well, let's get it on!
From the fight capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada, this is MMA Junkie Radio.
We rollin'!
What's going on, Junkie Nation? Gorgeous George and Ghost checking in here on a Wednesday night for your Thursday morning delivery. We got a fun show planned for you guys as we preview PFL 1 2024 regular season and UFC Fight Night. What number is this damn thing? It's not that important, but once I go down that road, I want to get it right. Oh boy. Yeah, Tapology's not telling me that, but it's a fight night at the Apex in Las Vegas. So we'll just go with the fight night card on Saturday, Allen versus Curtis. Latest news, of course, we got some big news revolving UFC 300, and I don't want you to get too excited. It has nothing to do with the card. The card's intact, but basically our plans for covering the event, because it's right around the corner. Daniel James will be our guest. He's a heavyweight that's participating in the PFL regular season. So all them cats that are competing for $1 million, he's coming over from Bellator. He wants a piece of that. We'll be right back to start the show. So, what do you think of this latest with Ronda Rousey? Goes, she's got the book coming out, and we've talked a little bit about it on Spinning Back Click last week. And then, you know, there's slow leaks or previews as to topics that she covers, right? That kind of come out, I guess. I haven't even ordered the book and know too much about it. I do plan on getting it. I've always found her career fascinating, and I've always found her kind of fascinating as well. I'm just not feeling the run of excuses that she's on right now as she's promoting the book and things are coming out. Her latest being that before the Holly Holm fight, she was concussed. In fact, she feels like she was, I mean, this was even before the fight, like coming out to fight, she was concussed. How does all this sit with you?
Well, she claims that she says she slipped on some stairs. Then she said her mouth guard's not very good. I don't know, man. Like, she's done so much and accomplished so much that I really think she's starting to chip away at some of that. And we're starting to forget what she did and remember what she's leaving us with right now, which seems like sort of a lot of excuses, man. Like, Holly Holm just outboxed you. She outmaneuvered you. You know, who's to say she wasn't hurt going into the fight? Or, I mean, I don't care who you are. You take that head kick that she gave, you're going to get KO'd. Even dudes, like, it hit her right upside the head, right on the neck. That'll take out a lot of people. So I don't know that had she not had her concussions or what, she would have just taken it like the champ either.
It's like she's making it worse.
A little bit.
I mean, I'll always have respect for what she did. She kind of carried women's MMA on her back for a few years and really put it on the map. She got a lot of women involved, girls involved, celebrities involved. It was cool. It was a fun run. But as we've seen in our sport, it's hard to go undefeated. And there's no shame in losing once, twice, three times a lady. You know, it's like that. It doesn't take away anything from what you did.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're still a legend, a Hall of Famer, but now you're kind of coming off a poor sport, a poor loser. And I don't want to say these things about her, because here's something I was telling mom and her nurse today. You and I have been lucky enough to interview a lot of fighters, a lot of great ones. And part of me is almost thankful, Goes, that we got to interview them before they got really big.
Mm-hmm.
Because
there's two sides of them now.
So big, they're not even them. We know who they are. They're just the people that they've created. Now, not all. Some keep it real, right? But for the most part, they kind of learn the drill. They know how to skirt around tough questions and, you know, pivot from something controversial to something else, get their media done, and then get out there and perform. But I just remember her coming to the studio, and she was fun. I remember she was still a little cocky, and that was fine. But she was different. She had some swag to her, but
she was charming.
Becoming unbearable, maybe. Look at this thing that she says here. Oh man, I got the worst luck. Hold on, let me click the story. For some reason, do you ever drag two fingers and it just gets rid of the story? Like there's not even the back button that works.
No.
Never?
Not that I know of.
Well, I thought for sure you'd say, I know, that always happens to me too. You kind of left me hanging. But okay, hold on. Let me find this. Here it is. Rousey admits she was concussed before 2015. Here it goes. She says, I know that I'm the greatest fighter that has ever lived. It's like, are you a pro wrestler at this point? Like, are you a heel, a wrestling heel? If you are, then go ahead. Do you, girl. I mean, that's what you're supposed to say, right? Mm-hmm. But no, this is a book about real fighting. So then she says, but when it got to the point where I had just taken so much neurological damage that I couldn't take it anymore, suddenly everything that I accomplished meant nothing. No, that's not true. Well, maybe to her, I guess if that's something that was in her head, maybe. She says, so then after the second fight versus Nunes, and I saw how all these people that I was coming to fight back for had suddenly turned against me. All my appreciation for them turned into resentment. Girl, they didn't turn their back on you. You have a lot of fans that still love you. You're focusing on the negative ones that, yeah, pretty much thought you turned into kind of a punk. And so, therefore, they were kind of giving you yours. Remember all the times she would talk shit like, I got 1,000 problems and a bitch ain't one, a bit, you know, playing off mm-hmm. of a bitch ain't one. And so she was having some fun talking some trash. And so other fighters have fans too. And so when they win, that's just kind of what happens in sports. Liverpool's had our number for the last 5-10 years. But 2 weeks ago when Man United gave it to them, it was their job to take their medicine and our job to give it to them. And then when they play again, which is coming up, it starts all over again. What's in her head, dude?
I think you might have touched on something. I think maybe she is. Like, remember, to do pro wrestling, you don't just wake up and they throw you in there. Like, they teach you a lot, not just how to do the moves, but how to act and how to react to the crowd. I think maybe she is trying to be a little bit of a heel, because she knows that's going to generate heat.
Book sales?
Yeah, which in her case for a book would be book sales, right? I think she's trying to generate heat, because either that or she has absolutely lost her mind. But your point to her actually thinking that is just, it's so ridiculous that she would think that, because you're right. Every time she walks out, the fans go bananas. It's mm-hmm. just... It's just, how can I put it? It's just maybe not a handful, because it is quite a bit of people, but it's such a small demographic. It's like 5% of the people that are coming at you. And a lot of them don't do it to your face. They just do it online. But yeah, you know, you said maybe, you know, she's not a heel or whatever. I actually think she's trying to be a heel to sell books. Either that or she's lost her mind, because these stories that she's given us, they have no backbone. They don't make any sense.
Yeah, because of the way it ended, I don't think she's doing it for book sales. I just think her mind got warped at some point. I get that she dabbled in the pro wrestling world, but I've seen other MMA athletes go through the same thing. It's almost like they're hypnotized And until someone can say that key word that snaps them, that's just them. They're sold on something and nothing's going to change their mind. And it sucks because I always thought, eh, when a book comes out, maybe she'll go, man, I was dumb. If I could take it back, I would love to go back on social media and talk to my fans and focus on the ones that really had my back, you know, and just kind of scroll by the, you can always block them or just scroll past the losers. And those are just words. They mean nothing. And just focus on the ones that truly, really loved her. She's still stuck on what happened in 2015 and 2016. She hasn't come out of that. And this is weird to me because now she's a mom. She's mature. She's retired. She's accomplished so much everywhere. And yet then all of a sudden she just turns into a pea brain when it comes to the part of sports where you just lose, you know, like it. Habib didn't lose. The 72 Dolphins didn't lose. I guess John Jones has never really gotten his ass kicked. But kind of everyone just loses. Like, dude, like seriously. And I bet you Habib can, he'd probably tell you, you know, I had some wrestling matches in Dagestan and I lost or whatever. I mean, I can't think of anyone else that didn't lose. Hickson Gracie was 400-0 in the streets, wink, wink, mm-hmm. and 10-0 in real life. And, you know, like, no one even talks about him being one of the 30 greatest fighters. So even that stat alone doesn't do nothing. You know what I'm saying?
You know, the people that bring these things up to her attention are people in the media, right? When she has to do interviews and all that. That's why she avoids it. The people around her that should be telling her these things probably don't, right? You want to be her friend. You want to get invited to this premiere. You want to go here. You want to do that. You want to go to dinner and have her pick up the check. When these people are surrounded by people like that, they usually don't tell you your faults. They usually say, you're right. You know, and that's where you need somebody. I remember one time Eric Nixick told me, I can't remember what we were talking about, what we were looking at, but he told me, if I ever act like that, slap me. And he goes, I won't get mad, but let me know that I'm being an asshole. And that's what she needs. She needs somebody to tell her, look, if you're not going to go out in public, if you're not going to do these interviews, somebody's got to tell you these things. And they're not even bad things. You know, they really aren't. We're just trying to say, look, face reality, you were great, okay? But you weren't the greatest of all time. But you were great, and you did a lot. You should be proud of that. And when you go out in the streets, people want to hug you. They want to shake your hand. They want to meet you. They want to talk to you. It is only a small percentage of people that want to say bad things about you. And it's probably an even smaller percentage that actually believe it.
Yeah, dude. Whatever it is in your personality, ego, or whatever it is that you can sit, you know how the UFC Fan Expo is, right? You stand in a line and all these fighters are on a stage and there's either a sign this moment, let's take a picture moment, or whatever. I don't know what else one would do there, right? Mm-hmm. Here's FaceTime. Can you say hi to my kid? I mean, I don't know. It just seems like to me that she could get 99 people telling her, you're the greatest. You're my inspiration. I'll never forget the time I saw you fight. Can you sign this? Can we take a picture? And then that 100th person comes up and goes, hey, big fan. Don't be offended. Amanda Nunes is my favorite, you know, but still a big fan. Even something like that. And I could see her just probably melting down from that. That's how I read this. Like, she's that fragile or weak or immature. I don't know what the right word is, that she would almost think, you know what? She'd probably call the UFC official over and just go, I'm fucking done. I can't stand these people. She would even say people, even though it was 1%, because her mind would be so messed up that she would think that all 100 were bad, even though 99 were courteous, respectful, praised her. And just the one, she isolated on it so much that it just ruins her day and her perception. And so how does that get fixed is what I'm trying to see, because that's how I think she is now. And I didn't think that all my life.
No, I mean, we met a completely different person. I thought she was charming. I thought she was just fun to be around. She had a nice energy. And that's not to say like that happens to a lot of people. I just think it happened a little bit more extreme on her end.
Is this weirdo shit like the ones that just get, God, I don't even know if I'm supposed to say this, but, you know, Scientology or I don't know. You know how people just get looped into believing something and then like 8 years later, they're like, yeah, I went through a phase, I'm out or whatever. Well, you know, like what happens here? Huh? Is this her for the rest of her life or does she snap out of it?
Probably not. It's ego. It's probably half of those people just don't want to have to go through admitting they were wrong. You know, that's such a big thing in people's lives. That people just don't like to admit when they're wrong because they believe that it demonstrates weakness, you know, or that they're dumb or something. They don't have the confidence enough to just kind of turn the page and start a new day, you know? And so, especially someone like her where there's nobody around her to check her. Yeah. I mean, I don't see that changing at all.
I've always said she comes across as kind of smart. I think she's smart. I don't think she'll have like all these degrees to show you that because she went into the sporting world, but she doesn't seem like she was dumb. Here's another thing. Her mom seems like she's pretty brilliant, to tell you the truth. Mom's
really smart.
And her mom can back it up with, hey, bitch, I won medals too in judo. I didn't do what you did in MMA. I get it. There was probably wasn't an MMA when she was around, you know, at her peak, but she got down in judo and she's a doctor. I wonder how. I think they get along. I don't know. I heard some stuff behind the scenes that because the mom and the sisters used to all be front row and they would all celebrate. When she went to Australia, if I'm not mistaken, there might have been a little bit of a falling out, but just for the fight, I don't think the mom went to Australia. I think she sensed that her daughter had changed a little bit. And so she kind of took that one off. And I don't think I've heard too much since then. So I'm just going to assume that more than likely, you know, she's a happy grandmother and maybe they have a great relationship. So who knows? I'm going to see if I can check in with that person that told me that and just see what kind of is the latest. But my point is, it seems like Rhonda respected her and would listen to her. I wonder why that hasn't occurred.
Yeah, I don't know. I really don't know. She just lives such an isolated lifestyle that I think she's telling you everything just with that.
Dude, fame seems like it's scary.
It can be. I mean, dude, just think about what your life would be like if everybody said yes to you, right? Just that simple tweak of everybody says yes to you, how ridiculous of a person you would become. You gotta change a little bit, but you know, a lot of people can stay grounded too.
Yeah, man. I was just thinking about Dana White. He did an interview, I want to say 6 months to a year ago. Who was it again? Piers Morgan? I can't remember. In this interview goes, he was asked something about his family. And he goes, well, he goes, as a matter of fact, I think within the last 3 months, I lost my mom and dad. Did you hear that one? Mm-hmm. And anyway, he did. But he said he was okay, you know, like almost like water off a duck's back. Like they died. But I don't really feel too much pain and we're just moving on, you know, or whatever. And you can say whatever you want about Dana, about the things that he's done or whatever. But he does seem like, man, like he loves his family and he'll do anything he can for his family. So at the core of him, there's just a decent human being. Now, having to be a promoter, I think, makes you scummy no matter what. And I don't fault him for that. I think the fighters don't make it easy. It's just they're always going to look good and he's always going to look bad. And he's always accepted that. But I think at the core of him, there seems to be like a decent human being. Like, I don't think he would ever, like him and his buddies, whatever, rape a girl, you know, or like, I don't think a filthy story like that would ever come out. I think the slap incident was probably alcohol related. Some people will say, well, if he's done it once, he's done it before, but it just looked like a couple that argued, she hit him, and it was just a reaction from, I think, hey, usually things go my way, how dare you? Mm-hmm. But then, I don't know, I didn't even want to get into it, but I just don't think that that's something that's just occurred a million times, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Man, but I always when he say, said
that, I just thought, man, that's kind of weird. Like, are you that numb and callous that it really is no big deal that you kind of lost your mom and dad? I mean, I'm sure they, well, I don't know, man. I don't know if his dad beat him or what, but
that's
the mom thing. Sounded like she worked really hard to give him and his sisters or sister or something like that a decent life.
For as much as we think we know people, their lives are just so much different day to day that we really don't know what could have happened in life, right? To a person, yeah. And why they would react that way. To me, man, alcohol, there's a lot of people that'll use alcohol as an excuse. To me, alcohol amplifies your personality. So in other words, if you were willing to do something, I don't think alcohol makes you change those thoughts. It just makes them stronger to where you can't say no. So I rarely give people the benefit of the doubt, man, when it has to do with alcohol, because there's still thoughts that come to your head. There's just usually it's the control over your body that stops you from doing something. I think alcohol just amplifies what you're already feeling. You know, I'm sorry I said this, I was drunk. Well, you were probably thinking of it. Normally, when you're not drunk, you're smart enough to say, maybe I shouldn't tell George this. But now you actually said it. I know it's a thought in your head. So I don't give people very many passes, man, when it comes to alcohol.
Yeah. You see McGregor as well posting all them girl pics, and there's already rumors of him and the boxing, the female boxer. And so then he took him down. But I don't want to talk about that topic necessarily. I guess I'm pointing to the big names in our sport, like Rousey, McGregor, Jones. They really just haven't handled fame well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there's, look, for as many as there are that way, there's a lot on the other side too, right? Like, I don't think Chuck Liddell hasn't been bad, right? And he got pretty famous. Randy Couture got pretty famous. He didn't really, like, do too many crazy things. Like,
Cormier seems like he's pretty chill.
Yeah. Chandler.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I don't know. I wish her the best. I will read the book. If she's doing this to sell books, I don't think she need. I guess do what you got to do. But I don't think she needed to. I thought this was a good time to maybe give her fans a shout out and shit. And yet she's still kind of presenting like negativity and loopy talk. I know that I'm the greatest fighter that ever lived. Like, if Goz is writing the book with her, right, and you're next to her and you're taking notes, and she says that, don't you kind of stop and look at her just like,
are you sure, like, you want to do that? Like,
you really want me to write that? Or wink twice if this is all just, we're in character mode. Like, what's going on here? You know, like, what about Travis Brown? He always seemed like a chill guy. I think I remember talking to him on the show before. Like, if you didn't run it by him, he didn't go, what? Like, why are you writing that?
Yeah, I don't know.
Let's move on. Let's move on. Jermaine Durandamy comes back after 3.5 years. It's, there you go. It's UFC Fight Night 240. Holy cow. Yeah, she fights this weekend, UFC Fight Night 240. But she said something interesting. She said she wants to revive a dead division. And guess what? 3.5 years is a long time. But look at her record, man. She is no joke.
She's got good skins on her wall.
Hell yeah, she does. This is one that's either going to allow me probably on the next spinning back click, or maybe not. We got to get through UFC 300. But I've told people this is someone who I thought could really maybe possibly be a champion. She's beaten Juliana Pena, former champ. She's beaten Raquel Pennington, current champ. She's beaten Holly Holm, former champ. She's beaten Larissa Pacheco, a champ over at PFL. She's only lost to Amanda Nunes. No shame in that, right? But even the Aspen lad wins a nice win. You know, Aspen maybe hasn't had the best run lately, but still, those other names I talked about, she can come back and get a finish. We got a player at 135 again. But again, she's 39 and a half. She's had a baby. I don't know what the rust will be like. I don't know if mother time is a knocking.
It's got to a little bit, but it's a division that just needs to be freshened up a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Tyler Santos opened up about why she went to PFL. She's now a flyweight in the regular season for the PFL. So all those gals or all those guys and gals that compete in a division to get to the Final Four and then $1 million, Tyler Santos is doing her thing. Now, remember, she's the one that gave a hell of a fight to Valentina Shevchenko. She's the one that kind of exposed chinks in the armor. I remember Jennifer Maia got her down once and won a round, and we all thought, oh, shit, maybe the way to, you know, the ground game's the ticket here. But Tyler Santos gave her an even closer fight. She was winning rounds, plural. And then all of a sudden, she took a loss, and now she's at PFL. She says, quote, yeah, I was in the UFC, but I wasn't very happy. Everything started when I fought for the belt against Valentina. I clearly won that fight. No, you didn't. There's an opinion that you might have, but you can't say clearly. It was a close fight. It continues, and it was one of the first tough fights Valentina ever had in her career. Agreed. No other fighter had done what I did against her. Agreed. I was able to take her to the ground and keep her there while also blocking her attacks on the feet. So many people wanted to see the rematch. The fans were asking for it. I believe I deserve the rematch, the opportunity, but it didn't happen. So she's got a little bit of sour grapes. She says there were some uncomfortable aspects around the dates in the calendar, and I would fight once, and there would be no dates, and I would have to wait, and there were just too many delays. There wasn't a calendar. It was just a lot of waiting after each fight, and I wasn't happy. So I chose to fight out my contract and not renew. I guess I can respect that.
Yeah, I mean, I get where she's coming from. I just don't know. You'd have to see what her contract's like, right? And I don't know. So many people say for as many people that say bad things about the UFC, I often hear they do take care of us and they do this and they do that. It just depends. You know, everybody's driven by something different, but hopefully it works out for her, you know, but I agree with you. You can't say clearly. That's one word you got to scrap right out of that.
I'll say this. I haven't said it in a long time. Look, I'm fired up that PFL bought Bellator. Bellator was kind of just off on a remote island, and we are slowly not paying attention to a lot of their fights. Literally a main event, tell me what happened, you know, on the rest of the card. And it shouldn't be that way because, as we know, they got good fighters. So now the PFL gets them, and now if you look at their roster, it's a good injection of some PFL and some Bellator. All right, let's get this thing going, right? They did the champion versus champion thing. They got their own series. So far, I'm happy. But you know what sucks, goes, is there's just not that many of us like you and I that are all about this, whereas a UFC pay-per-view, it's like the whole world is watching, man. It really pops. So to leave it, sometimes to me, when I see a top fighter leave it, like a Tyler Santos, I'm just thinking, did you run out of patience? Is the money that great? Because damn, man, like it's really like, as sad as it sounds, it's really like the NFL and arena football, or the NFL and Canadian football. Like, You know how packed the sportsbook used to get at Mandalay Bay on a Sunday for NFL versus, you know, or maybe let's say this one, NBA and WNBA. Although I know you're a fan of WNBA and they do.
How about this one? Fans, but, Premier League and MLS.
There you go. There you go. Yeah. Maybe the money's just great, but if she just ran out of patience, who knows if this will come back and bite her in the ass.
Day to day, I mean, I'm sure, like, if you spend a lot of, like, look at me, you know how weird I am, right? Like, I like to have things written down. I like to know what's ahead of me, because when I have something to look forward to, I have, like, I always know every day when I wake up, I'm working towards this, whatever it is, right? When you don't know who you're fighting, when you're fighting next and all that, like, I can understand her to a certain extent. Maybe she just feels better knowing I know when my next fight's going to be. I know that I don't have to fight a certain way. If I get these wins, I'm in. I could possibly make a lot of money here. Maybe those are just the factors that that make her a lot more happy. Now, I can do all of those things that I'm telling you that I don't like to do. I can do them if you pay me enough money, right? And maybe that's what she was doing at that time. Maybe she just got to the point where she's like, this just isn't worth it.
Okay, I won't belabor the point, but I want to ask you a question. We're going to use $100,000 as a nice round number. So you're a top 10 fighter in the UFC. You make $100,000 a show and $100,000 a win. Would you rather be in the UFC if Hunter Campbell comes and says, we're going to bump you to 125 and 125, 150, 150, 175, 175, and 200, 200. It's a four-fight deal with 25,000 more each fight. You've had 10 fights for us. You've won seven. You've lost three. We respect you. We love having you. That's the deal. Now, on the other end, PFL goes, hey, we'll pay you $200,000 a fight, flat. And obviously, you get $200,000 in the first regular season fight, $200,000 in the next regular season fight. If you make the playoffs, $200,000 there. And then if you win it, $1 million. So you can make 1.6 if you go 4-0. Would that be enough for you to leave the UFC? Because if you go 4-0 in the UFC, you're going to make 250, 3, that's 550. And another 350 is 900. And then 1.3 million or something like that. But not all of it's guaranteed, right? You could go 1-1 in the regular season and still run the rest of the thing in the PFL and still make your million. In the UFC, if you lose one of the fights, you won't get that, you know, that. So I guess my point is, how much more would you have to get paid to go to the PFL to give up how kind of fucking cool it is to be in the UFC?
I'm in the me business. And I'm thinking four fights in the UFC might take 2 years. I can do four in the PFL in one. And if I'm confident enough that I'm a good fighter, then I'm going to go make that million. Because if I make that million and I win four fights, my status goes up a little bit and I never lose out on possibly going back to the UFC. If I lose, then of course they're not going to want me, right? So it comes down to confidence. Mm-hmm. But I think I would go over there, get my mill, and then reassess, you know, do I want to go and try and do it again? Or do I want to see what the UFC is offering? You know, now life is a little different for me. I don't have to struggle from fight to fight. I got $1 million in the bank. Maybe I can wait a little bit longer for opponents. I don't know. So I think I would do that.
Okay, let me just try one more thing. You saw Michael.
If I spoke English,
Michael Page has been buzzing ever since he's been in the UFC. Michael Chandler has been buzzing ever since in the UFC. Like, they got this look as if, yes, this is where I belong. This is where the top fighters are. I don't have to answer that question about how would you do in the UFC. You're in the minor leagues. You're the B leagues. Like, you can honestly tell people, I fight where the best fight. Like, that wouldn't get on your nerves a little bit? Like,
not really. I mean, that's a little different, though, because they came from over there to the UFC. In this case, she's already been there, so she can play the been there, done that role. We know Michael Chandler for a long time, and I've always agreed. I thought, you know, okay, go to the UFC. But one thing I'll say about Michael was he never struck me as a guy that was unhappy. He always seemed pretty happy to me.
I think he was just saying the right things, but I think it bothered him that he wasn't regarded as a top guy. But what do I know, man? I don't know. So, okay, so Tyler Santos is in the PFL. They're doing 125 instead of 145. Harrison goes the other way. But keep an eye on Dakota Dicheva. Is that her name?
Something like that,
yeah. Is it Dakota Dicheva or something like that?
The Dakota, but I don't really remember.
It is Dakota, right? She's really cool. Like, great personality, 10-0, pretty, and I think she could be a star, man. So just keep an eye on her. Liz Carmouche is there. Juliana Velasquez is there. We'll see how this one works out. Tyler Santos. So they got some decent names. Kana Watanabe came over from Bellator. We'll see how this thing plays out. Daniel James is a heavyweight now over at PFL, coming over from Bellator. Let's reset here, and we'll be right back with Daniel James.
Junkie Nation, what's going on? The 2024 regular season for the PFL is getting ready to warm up in April. The big dudes are going to go at it, and Daniel James is part of that group of heavyweights that's going to compete in the regular season leading into the playoffs. And of course, you know, not only do you get crowned winner of 2024, you get $1 million. What's going on, Daniel? How are you?
I'm good. What's up, baby?
Not much, man. What's the most appealing thing about the regular season format for you?
I'm new to it, so I'm just going along with the flow. I really don't know what's going on. I'm just new to it. I just know I just got to show up and fight. So regular season, playoffs, I'm really new to this. I don't really understand it, but I just know I just got to show up to the fight and fight. I'm just being honest.
Well, it's going to be a total of 4 fights if you make it all the way to the finals. Is that down your alley? You're an older dude, bigger dude. But at the same time, that's more paydays and more activity. So what, you like that?
Well, I'm used to that. I was in Eastern Europe fighting everything. We fought all the time. So I'm not used to like coming over here, back over here to America, and these guys sitting around for months and months and not fighting. I'm used to fighting twice or 3 times out the year, so that don't really make a difference to me. My training camp is top tier, so I'm always on point with my in shape and my physical fitness and things like that. So I don't really too much worry about that.
Do you cut a lot of weight, Daniel?
I cut 15 pounds. For fight camp. I walk around trying to like 280, 283, something like that.
All right, so then you're pretty comfortable with that cut 4 times a year.
Yeah, I'm 278 right now.
All right. Well, we love hearing that. Now, the last fight against Ali Izayev, who used to be with the PFL, was going to fight you at Bellator. That one fell apart on fight week. We never got details. Can you tell us what happened?
Man, to be honest with you, I really don't know. I know I got a call from my manager, Butler. He was just like, he texted me, he was like, man, I'm like, oh, shit. So I hit him back and say, what's up, brother? Like, you never just text me like that and say something like that. And he's like, man, your guy pulled out. I'm like, pulled out? And so he pulled out like 3 days before. And that was it. So I didn't really stress anything about it. I just went right back into training camp because we was, you know, after the GoCon fight, we stayed training, you know what I'm saying? It gave me time to completely heal 100%. So that was actually a blessing and good thing. So I was able to just to completely heal my knee the way it needs to be. But as him pulling out, I guess he pulled out a lot of fights. He had like 5, 6 fights he pulled out like that. Yeah. So, you know. I don't know.
Yeah, I've heard that before. I've heard that before too. He did well in the PFL 1 season. He's undefeated, but he has pulled out of fights. Yeah. I was bummed because we got to know you before one of your fights last year, and I remember you bringing up you were from Chi-Town, and Bellator was going there, so I figured that was going to be a big, big night for you, and then it fell apart. So
yeah, it was. It actually was. Yeah, shit was going crazy. It was going crazy. And we knew it was going crazy, and that's why it was like a lot of upsetness behind it, you know what I'm saying? But the people good, you know, a lot of people meet me and see me, events around the city of Chicago, and I didn't mention that I wasn't fighting until I let Bellator mention the fight was canceled. No, I didn't want to, it was not my job to put that out there, so when they put it out there, then that's when I got to respond to like mass texts like, hey, fight's off. Still come out and support the company. It's going to be some good fights tonight. I'll still be in attendance. So I still try to at least push the match, though. Push the card. It was a good card. Yeah.
This knee issue, it's all cleared up now? You're good to go?
Yeah. When I fought Marcelo Gomes March 31st, I beat him, but shit, Marcelo Gomes threw some hell of a kicks. And I realized my big ass can't be taking them kicks like that no more. So I'm like, damn, I usually walk through those kicks. But I'm like, you know what? He played a smart game. A lot of those guys, I've realized, like, they're going to throw those naked kicks, which is okay because we just got back to the bases. We did everything we need to do, fixed all that shit, got back to wrestling, got back to jits, got back to everything, being super athletic. And a lot of these guys is hybrid heavyweight, so I'm a really athletic heavyweight. And so I just had a chance to clean up inflammation, strengthen my legs a little bit more, and just enjoy the healing process. So I'm good. I'm just happy because I'm able to run my few miles again like I usually do, because I like to run throughout camp. So I'm able to do that. So I'm good. The therapy that I had, soft weight treatment, they was a fucking amazing. So I appreciate them for that.
Daniel, I know that we still have Bellator Championship Series around and all that, and this is the PFL season. Do you still feel like maybe a little part of you is representing Bellator in this? You do?
Yes, man. Yes. Man. Because, you know, Bellator, like, whether it is, you know, PFL, Bellator, not, like, I just came to the understanding, like, man, every time I get somewhere great, something happens, you know? So I just told myself, you know what, man, this industry is different. So let me just do what I can do and have some fun. And because you never know, somebody wake up and just want to sell a whole damn company, or somebody want to buy something, is like, you combine them. It's all good for the sport. The division is real deep, but Bellator always going to be my place. I'll always love Bellator. I just always been a Bellator fan, you know, since I've been in the sport of MMA. So Bellator always been my, you know, my spot that I like a lot, you know, and they treat me well, man. The people was over there were so amazing.
Is there a particular theme for yourself as far as getting motivated for this? Do you take it fight by fight, or is there an overall theme to the whole season?
Well, my whole motivation throughout this whole season, throughout this whole career, is that I'm a guy that don't prove anything to anybody but himself. I'm not the guy that, like, I don't worry about who in the MMA industry likes me, because the people like me. You know what I'm saying? Like, outside of the cage, I'm a whole different dude. Outside of the cage, I do a lot of different things. Outside of the cage, I live different from a lot of different guys, and I know a lot of different people. So the people, the regular in general people, and enjoy me. And when I get with those people, I don't even talk about fighting outside the cage. You know what I'm saying? So, like, I'm doing other things to occupy my time, helping somebody, maybe in the gym with some young athletes, helping them out, or, you know what I'm saying, maybe try to talk to some young cat, motivating them. So, like, those things right there, I put myself in a position to be a role model. So those things throughout that whole process, those young men and those people that's around me, that's just regular people, that they motivate me just because they're people that really want to hear my story. So, like, people in the industry, like, I don't care if they hear my story or not. Like, I don't even know them. You know what I'm saying? Because my life outside of fighting is for people to get to know Daniel James, not the American Predator. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And there's no disrespect to nobody. It's just, I love people. I love enjoying family. I just love people. You know what I'm saying? So I like to enjoy real people. You know?
Daniel, can you take us through the process of finding out, A, that you're going to be a part of the season, and then B, who's going to be in it? When, by the time they get to you and they tell you, this is what we have, how many names do they already tell you are involved? How much of it do you know before you say, this is what I want to do?
Let's just go back to the phone call that I got. I got a DM from Mike Hogan on Instagram, and Mike always kept in touch with me, and he said, after the new year, Mike say, hey, big man, we're going to get you rolling in a minute. Just make sure you stand ready. And I say less. And then my manager, Butler, hit me. He was like, hey, you're going to be in the tournament. I'm like, what? I say, what you mean? He said, the PFL going to do the tournament. I'm like, okay. And I'm like, so am I fighting for Bellator? Am I fighting for BFL? Like, he was like, we're going to do the PFL. So I say, all right, okay, it's what it is. You know, you the manager. So y'all just let me know what's up. So when I got the call, I was just like, okay, cool. The tournament style? Ooh, Bellator used to do tournament style fighting. And I that's what kind of attracted me to them. And when he told me tournament style, I just say, wow, I could fight multiple times in 1 year. That's cool, because now the tournament is going to be one off who's in shape, who has the best cardio, who's stay injury free and who wants it more. That's how the tournament is going to be won. No, the heavyweights have longevity. So those aspects that I just named is all conquered. So you have to conquer those aspects to even move forward. You know, so a heavyweight shape and could continue on and have durability to actually go far. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying that I'm better than everybody. I'm not saying that I've been wrestling since I was 6 years old like these guys, but I do have some fucking powerful hands, and I do have some defensive wrestling that I got back to, and I'm a purple belt on jit. You know what I'm saying? So I just got back to doing my thing and all that stuff. So I just got to continue to put that stuff together and realize, like, I got to treat this shit just like I treated it when I was in Europe, because these boys understand everything now. They don't want to stand in front of you. So this whole aspect, when my manager told me about the tournament, I was excited. I was happy. And I was just like, thank God that it's another day that we can continue the journey. That's basically the whole answer, but that's if it makes sense.
Daniel, let's close with this. A direct question between Bellator, PFL, ONE Championship, if you want to throw them in, and UFC. How good of a heavyweight would you say that you are, like top 10, top 15, top 20? How good you are? How good do you think you are when you watch all the other big dudes throw down in other promotions?
To be honest with you, man, like, I'm not going to sit up here and, you know, everybody want to think they number one in the world. I'm not. But I can compete with the best of them. I can compete with the top 10. You know what I'm saying? And I think I'm one of those guys that's up there. And I think I have proven that throughout this process of fighting, throughout Europe and coming back to the USA fighting. And, you know, we had a mishap. So, okay, cool. But I think I'm up there in the top 10, top 15. I'm one of those guys that you can look at. I'm the guy when you look in the cage and say, I think I can beat him until I hit you in the fucking mouth. You know what I'm saying? Until you get in the cage and realize, like, this is a big motherfucker and he hit hard. Yeah, it's different. You can sit outside the ring, like, he look easy, but you get in there, it's different. You know what I'm saying? And I shadow over guys. I towel over guys. And I just think I'm one of those guys that's up there. You know what I'm saying? And that's just my personal opinion. And people that follow me understand that. And people that really know me, that has my back, understand that, like, I work my ass off. And I feel that I'm top 10, top 15, and one of those guys. Because a lot of guys that's fighting, they're not... These guys have been pampered, man. I'm just going, these guys have been pampered. They've been giving these guys trophies. You don't get no fucking trophies just for having potential. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're giving these guys trophies saying, oh, we're going to pat this guy. We're going to get him to the next place. And we're going to try to make him be our champion until he is knocked by somebody that's going to get hit by. Because you haven't been watching the guy that's really working his ass off. Until he get that, then you get behind him like this. Oh, this guy's powerful. No, don't give me all that. You know what I'm saying? It's all good. I'm okay with everybody. But the thing is, I never fought against a guy that they want to just feed him to me. A lot of these guys been fed. All of them. Everybody that I fought has been fed since I got back to the U.S. All of them. I came back and fought everybody in the top fucking five. Everybody been fed. I never been fed. I'm the guy that say, hey, give him the older guy. And the older guy want the young guy. See, that's the thing. I want the young guy. That's a whole different type of answer I got from there. I can go on and on about that. But that's the type of answer I got for that.
The only reason I brought it up is because...
I'm not mad about anything. I'm just saying, like, come on, man. An athlete can do anything. A boxer can learn how to wrestle. A wrestler can learn how to box. But an athlete can do anything. No, I'm just saying, fellas, like, I'm not mad. Like, I'm just a big nice guy, man. Like, I'm really about enjoying people, bro. Like, I'm the guy that come to your crib. If you on the grill, I'm looking at you like, man, won't you let me cook? You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm that guy. I'm the guy that wanna just, you know what I'm saying, chill. You know, like, and you say train is train, but when it's time to fight, let's fight. You know what I'm saying? So, like, I'm literally gonna be genuine what you give. My social media is operated by me, nobody else. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't need somebody to put out anything that's not of me. Like, if somebody responds to me on social media in a DM, I respond back like, man, good job. You know what I'm saying? This is me. You know what I'm saying? I had a guy the other day message me and say, hey, bro, could you message me back? I just want to show people that, like, I met you before. I'm like, bro, no problem. What's up? This is me. Man, stay up. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't care about that stuff, man. I'm just trying to enjoy myself and have fun, man, and just get my story out there, bro. Like, for real, just watch the tournament, though. I'm going to surprise everybody.
All right. Well, the reason I asked it was because about a year ago, Henan Fajeda, the PFL champ, was a guy that had been in the tournament, some ups, some downs, and then he had a great year, and then he wins the title. He wins $1 million. Then he comes in and beats Bader, and now he might get a chance to fight Francis Ngannou, who's kind of technically a linear champion at UFC because he never lost, right? But think about it. In 1 year, that guy's life turned around. And if he were to beat Ngannou later this year, if they fight, he'd have an argument that he might be the baddest man on the planet. That's the beauty of a tournament or a situation like this. It can all turn quickly in our sport.
Yeah, you're right, man. You definitely 100% A1 right, because I've been watching him forever. We fought for LFA together. Me and Hannon was posting a fight for the world title in California for LFA, but he had got disqualified against Brett Martin, this little guy that was he bullshitted, so Hannon Ferrer got disqualified and then caused him to fight for the title and shit. So, but Hannon Ferrer, man, I like him a lot, to be honest with you. Like, he's like one of my favorite guys to watch. You know what I'm saying? Just because he's tall, athletic. And a lot of people always saying, oh, big man, athletes are six. Athletes is tall. Athletes ain't the 5'3" guys. Like, so athletes is tall. You know what I'm saying? Like, I played college ball, and we don't look at somebody as 5'2" and say, oh, he's athletic. No, we're big dudes. We're athletes. And Hannah Ferreira, I just think, you know, he has some strong hands. And Francis hit hard, too. Every heavyweight punch hard. Until you know what I'm saying? You just got to keep your damn hands up. And if he get a shot to beat Francis, hey man, the guy solidified his spot. He earned that. You know what I'm saying? And everybody's human. You know what I'm saying? Like, we know that everybody's human. So that'll be a good. That's actually my main goal. I'm looking to do that. I'm looking to get either in that category with Francis or Hannah. I want to be the guy up there that's saying, damn, I'm the Cinderella man. You know what I'm saying?
The division to do it. I'm telling you, I've seen some weird stuff. John Jones was retired for 3 years. He comes in, wins a fight. He's champ. Tom Aspinall blows his knee out against, who was it? I think Curtis Blaydes or someone.
Curtis, a
whole year, comes back, gets 2 dubs, and now he's the interim champ. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, a lot of stuff can change quickly in that division. So, anyway.
A lot of things can change, So, it's good, though. I think the tournament's amazing, though. And, you know, to have $1 million on the line, and then the money you make up into the $1 million is phenomenal, too. You know what I'm saying? And I like watches and cars, so.
There you go.
I like watches and cars and shit, so I'm in my Benz now. You know what I'm saying? So I like watches and cars, man. I like to eat food. I can sit back and enjoy that. But, man, thank you, though, man.
Thank you for the time today, Daniel. Really appreciate it. And good luck throughout the season. Hopefully we can catch up a few times with you.
Man, appreciate it, man. Thank you guys, man. Stay up. Stay blessed.
He's ready to get down. He says he's putting in the work, the wrestling, the grind. He's 42, but that's not that old for heavyweight. It's also not a spring chicken age either. Let's not get crazy, right? But I like that he kind of admitted, okay, I got some holes, but I've been trying to plug them.
I thought he said all the right things. You know, he is a big fella, man. He maybe doesn't move as fast as some of the other ones, you know, but when he hits, he means it. And I think he's got a good head on his shoulder. I think he'll be fun to have around.
Yep. Those guys throw down tomorrow on ESPN Plus. On our site, we have ESPN 2 and ESPN Plus. But I'm going to get to the bottom of this and find out what's going down for sure. I'm just going to look at a TV guide and make sure and see if it's available on ESPN2. I mean, I think a satellite broadcast, old school style, is always the best. And who doesn't have the deuce? That's ESPN2. If you got to go to ESPN Plus, you know, look, it looks pretty good. From time to time, you'll get the buffer, but I think I'm starting to get used to the streaming world. So follow me on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at MMA Junkie George. I'll most likely tweet it. Maybe post something on Facebook, but I'll list the official time and where you can watch the fights. Goes is at the Goes on Twitter and Instagram. Couple more stories here goes. Mike Tyson's, I think he's going to have receipts. If he beats Jake Paul, I think he's going to remember who in the hell was against the fight, who didn't think he could win the fight. He did an interview with Reuters, and he doesn't care that he's 57 going on 58. You know, he's like, I can fight and I can draw.
I have gone back and forth with this as far as whether he has a chance or whether he doesn't, or whether it hurts his street cred or any of that. Like, I don't know, man. I think I'm gonna break it down to you as best as I can. I think he's still dangerous. The problem is I don't know that he's dangerous over 8 rounds or 10 rounds or whatever they're fighting. You might get 2 to 3 rounds out of him where he's like that. But the one thing I will say, as much as I respect Jake Paul and getting in the boxing world and doing the work, even at Mike Tyson's age, one of the things that made him so successful was the ability to throw with power from ridiculous angles and to not get hit. And I don't know that I think Jake Paul's going to have a little problem timing him and hitting them at first. As Mike starts to slow down, then I think, yeah, it'll get a little easier. But Mike can still kind of move. It's just, for how long can he keep that up? I don't know. But
Jake Paul knock out Mike Tyson?
Yeah.
You think so, huh?
Yeah, I think so.
Maybe I just can't accept it. Maybe because I'm from his era, I just find it
off. He knocked out Tyron Woodley. Tyron Woodley's closer to being, like, you know, not in his prime, but a high functioning athlete.
Yes, I can't disagree with that. However, I just think Mike Tyson, his mechanics, okay, he might not have reaction speed, but power will be there. But I still think he'll have his hands up and not take clean punches like we saw other fighters that have fought Jake Paul take, because they don't have those types of mechanics. It takes years to do that and put it into practice and have that discipline. And Tyson didn't look like he took a day off when he fought Roy Jones. He looked his age, but Roy Jones was like 3 years younger. I think it was 54 and 51. It was a while back. But Roy Jones looked like, I'm just here for the check. Whereas Tyson looked like he took it serious.
I don't think he knows how to not take it serious. You know, other than even when they talk about the things that were bothering him leading into Buster Douglas, he's just a dude that was like molded into boxing. So I really think, for as much fun as you see him have outside of combat sports, I think he's just that dude that's used to kind of punching in the clock and going to work. I think it's just been molded into him. And so, yeah, I agree. I don't think he'll phone in it at all. But you gotta, like, we're from that generation, so it's hard to let go. But we have to remember, how hard was Anderson Silva to hit, you know, in his career? And Jake Paul found him. So it's like, I don't know, man. Maybe you just slow down. Maybe you don't see him coming as well or something.
I'm going to stick to something I said on Spitting Back. Like, okay, let's say Tyson only has 4 good ones in him. But I still think the first 2, there's going to be a lot of power that Jake hasn't dealt with. Yeah. So I think within 2 rounds, Mike Tyson will knock out Jake Paul. If he doesn't, he'll be the pro. But I just don't want to give you this whole – I know I do this sometimes where I sit on the fence and go, if so-and-so can get him down, it's a world of hurt for the other guy. But if he or she can't, then they're in trouble. No, I'm gonna be more blatant here. I believe in reps, and Mike Tyson's got thousands more than this guy. So no matter what the age, I just think that Mike Tyson will knock him out within 2 rounds.
I would be a little surprised, but I wouldn't be shocked.
Manel Kopp is out of his fight, goes. He says, usually it's others pulling out against me, so give me a pass here. Said he hurt his rib. He won't be fighting Matthias Nicolau. Instead, he's replaced by Alex Perez. Now, remember, this is on the heels of him not making weight for his last fight. So he kind of has been getting crapped on a little bit. But I just kept thinking, okay, you've done a few things wrong, but dude, just win your fights. This isn't a deep division. You could get a shot at the title. Do you still believe in this guy? An Extreme Couture product, just being transparent here? Do you think this guy can get there?
I think he can, but these little problems that he's had, it's almost like you take a fight or two off of a win streak, you know? Mm-hmm. Almost like they go away and they set you back in that sense. But he's got to, I mean, and he does, you got to own up to it, you know, and, but I think he can turn it around, especially in that division. Like, how don't we get tired of seeing the same guys over and over again?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's only 30 years old. He's on a 4-fight win streak. He did have, you know, the missed weight incident. I guess that was a few fights ago. This would have been a chance to run it back with Nicolau and even the score there. But yeah, he's really only lost to Nicolau and the champ, Horiguchi, back in the day. A couple fights in Ryzen. But in the UFC, he's won 4 in a row, and that's pretty good in a division like this. But I just thought, man, if he would have gotten this win over Nicolau, he could have really, really put himself in a good spot. Maybe even taken over Mokaev, because I got to believe Mokaev's next. Mm-hmm. You know, but if he could have got the finish over Nicolau, I think this would have been a good chance for him to be next.
Could be, yeah.
Finally, let's just talk about real quick. PFL kicks off tomorrow. I did get the info, goes. They are on ESPN Plus and ESPN 2. So the early card starts at 6:30 p.m. Eastern, 3:30 p.m. Pacific on ESPN Plus. The main card is on ESPN 2 and ESPN Plus. So one or the other. They're in San Antonio, Texas. And we got heavyweights as well as women's flyweight. So any thoughts here? Delija, Ante Delija versus Valentin Moldavsky is your main event. We got Dennis Goldsloff against Linton Vassell. Liz Carmouche against Juliana Velasquez. Dakota Dicheva, she's debuting. Daniel James, Blagoy Ivanov is over there. Tyler Santos. What I guess captivates you the most about tomorrow's PFL season kicking off?
I'm just glad it's back. I think tomorrow's going to be a fun day. We, you know, Manchester United fans, they got a game. By the time that's ending, it's almost rolling straight into PFL.
That's true.
So I think it's going to be a fun day of just watching sports. And I'm glad the PFL's back. I think I think the ladies are going to make it interesting. Like you said, with Dakota, a lot of people don't know who she is. And she's very charming, too. You know, mm-hmm. I think she could win over a lot of people, and seems like they've set her up for success. We'll see. But overall, I think when you're the PFL, you got to start off with your heavyweights, right? Like you got to be able to the next week show them highlights of big boys just knocking each other out.
Mm-hmm. Real quick on this question, it's two parts, but are you still in Bellator versus PFL mode? And if so, how long do you think it'll be before you can just kind of shake that off? Like, again, if you keep in score, because I think it was 4-1 coming out of the mm-hmm. Night of Champions thing. So are you going to still kind of get your tab out? Like, okay, PFL, nice comeback. You know, if they come back.
I am.
Me too. I think it's going to be kind of competitive. I mean, if Bellator starches, I think PFL is going to be going, what the fuck? You know, what's going on here? When's this thing going to turn around?
Yeah, especially because even internally, we've had so many talks where one guy will say, the number two organization, it's PFL, they're creeping up. No, it's Bellator. So, I mean, it's been going on for a while. They were getting close. They were closing the gap. So, let's see if it plays out.
Yeah, because the one guy that even the score was Henan Fajeda. He's not even part of the season. He's kind of waiting mm-hmm. for Ngannou.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then the UFC, we got Chris Curtis, who gave a loss to Brendan Allen early in his career, but then Allen's rattled off a nice win streak. He's 23-5 overall, and he's won his last 7, it seems like, since he lost to Chris Curtis in 2021. So he's definitely on a roll. Chris Curtis is playing with house money. If he loses, okay, we're 1-1. If he wins, though, dude, he kind of steals all of Allen's momentum in a way.
And by this point in Chris Curtis's career, when we say he's stepping in on short notice, it kind of doesn't matter anymore because he just lives mm-hmm. his life in short notice. Like, he doesn't really go off and do crazy things. So he's just kind of always ready. So really, I hope Brendan Allen, I hope he's got his big boy hat on because I think this fight's going to be rough.
Yeah, Cynthia Calvillo's on the card. She's still kind of a big name, even though she's hasn't been as consistent as early on in her career. You got Norma Dumont and Jermaine Duranamy. Remember, bantamweight's starting to dwindle, so this could be a big fight for either one of them. I still can't believe Corb McGee's doing his thing, him and Alex Morano. Okay, that should be fun. I'm not going to hate on either one. And then Alexander Hernandez is against Damon Jackson. You know, I think we're getting to the point here where if you're going to do something for these two, get it done in this fight. And then whoever loses, I think we're just going to move on from them. I know it sounds cruel, but they've just kind of been cruising along in our lives for a while now, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So let me see if I can give you some info on that one. That one, that's an early start time, folks, 3 p.m. Eastern for that fight card. So that's an early night at the office on Saturday, April 6th, coming to you live from the Apex. I think a lot of people actually enjoy that, kind of frees up their Saturday. I know the East Coasters are always thankful for that type of schedule. So now you know when things go off for PFL tomorrow, and then on Saturday, it goes 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific for the prelims, and 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific for the main card. And with that, folks, we're out of here. Let me just say a couple things here. Spinning Backlick on Monday, 90 minutes long. It starts at 8:30 a.m. Pacific, 11:30 a.m. Eastern. So you'll see us tweet about it, post it, share it, this, that, whatever. Don't get thrown off. We're going to do it 2 weeks in a row. Next week, it's all about UFC 300. That's basically what our Spinning Backlick show will be about. 90 minutes long on Monday. Saturday, April 13th, Goz and I are going to do basically we usually do 5 hours. I think we're going to do 7 hours on that watch along.
More than that, they're going to have to peel me off it because I still have to do Farrah's show before that.
So yeah, Farrah's show is 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific. And we start right when it ends. So, in fact, we got to figure out how you do it because you're going to be producing and then you got to jump into doing that. Yeah. Maybe I'll just kind of host the first show while Goz can go take a leak, make a sandwich, and then come in. It'll be during the Figueiredo-Garbrandt fight. But my point is we're going to do the whole card with you guys on the 13th. So a lot of free fights. And then the pay-per-view. Who's not paying for the pay-per-view at this point? If you're ever going to pay for one, this is the one. And keep an eye on ESPN. They're always giving you $10 off. So I don't know if that's just their style of getting new fans in the door or what. I don't think pay-per-views are snagging for that one. So there you go. On the way out, just wanted to run that by you guys. On the 15th, we'll be another 90-minute Spinning Backlick. So that's it. We're out of here. Go out and be a champion. We'll talk to you soon. Thank you for all the support over the years. 3450 is not a round number, but 50 is a round number. So we're getting close to 3,500 shows. How about that? Anyways, take care, everybody.